Pictured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, let's take a look and see what's scattered on my desk, shall we? We collect stories courtesy of you sent to idea@wretched.org. Many of them are thematic. Some of them are really good, but they don't have any friends. So what do? Because we want to share them? Well, we put them all together. We play some antiquated theme music. And then we slap a title on it and call it Wide World of Christian Stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, that theme song, The Wide World of Sports, I'm so glad it didn't have any lyrics because it would be stuck in my head. It would be stuck in my head. This Christmas, Mrs. Friel, we were in the kitchen. I remember it vividly to my shame. She, for some reason, I don't know why, kind of sang, oh, 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 oh. And I immediately thought of the Volare theme song. Jimmy, do you know what a Volare is?
I do not.
It's an automobile. Come ride Volare today. Ride small the comfortable way. I remember that. I haven't heard that jingle in a half a century. But is it stuck in my head? Yes. Yes, it is. Thankfully, Wide World of Sports doesn't have lyrics. Otherwise, you'd be listening to me sing that too. It's a thrill to be here at the ministry without a mask. Why? Georgia County ends COVID state of emergency, telling employees to return to work. And right now you're going, this a rerun? No, this has actually happened in December 25. It's not our county. What county are we in? Well, yeah. I think, are we in Fulton or Forsyth?
I think we're on the brink of both.
We are very close. I don't remember it being quite as drunk in Minnesota, the way the lines are drawn between counties. Somebody was drinking in Georgia when they determined here's the county lines, because I'm telling you, they are like St. Paul streets, is what I'm saying. They are just, wow, total chaos. And they weave and they blend in and out. And by the way, this will probably do absolutely nothing for you. So Friel, why are you sharing it? Parking. Parking is a thing for your church. How do I know that? Well, Alpharetta Bible Church, we're actually looking for a new church home. We'd like to be in a bigger building. And the church would like to move in ASAP. Wow, do we have plans? Nevertheless, if you buy a building that's like a typical business building, you're going to have typical parking spaces. The problem is, if you are going to convert that building into a church, there's laws, there's county rules about parking ratios. So in Fulton County, it's for every two people, you have to have one parking space. Right across the street here in Forsyth County, it's 3-1. Rhyme or reason? No, it's somewhat arbitrary, but it's made finding a building for us a thing. When you go to church on Sunday, be thankful you've got a parking lot. It has become a thing. Everything about every building that we find, we look at it and we go, parking, got to figure out the parking. It's gotten to the point where I drive by big box stores and I'm like, oh, that's a good parking lot. Oh, look at that parking lot. They got a lot of parking spaces right there. Parking is a thing and it's based on the county. This particular county happens to be, Jimmy, it's D-E, capital K-A-L-B, county.
DeKalb. That's how they say it around here, DeKalb.
No, they don't. It's DeKalb.
I thought it was DeKalb.
DeKalb.
Okay.
You hear the difference right there? DeKalb. It's a county that encompasses Atlanta. They're finally allowing their employees to come back to work. The scare is over. And hey, speaking of scaring, you better get a vaccine for shingles. They're going to die. 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus in them. Duh, of course they do. It's called chicken pox. You had it when you were a kid and it's still there. They just terrorize you over that shingles vaccination. Let's go to Jimmy. I'm so sorry.
What happened?
No, wait, I don't need to take a break. This is so crazy. Because I was just, you know, we've got a policy here at Fortis Institute. You can bring your dog to work. And I brought my AI dog to work. And I looked down and I thought that he needed some attention, some taking care of. I might have to actually just stop, take him outside, get him some water or something. But then I remembered, he's an AI dog. Did you see that commercial for the AI dog?
I did not.
It just makes me kind of sad. They seem to be targeting seniors. I get it. Dogs are work. I really understand. We've had dogs for years. I think we have Freddie, 13-ish, I think. That was a very sad day. And then Charlie, that was a less sad day. Nevertheless, it was a sad day, just not as sad as when it was with Freddie, who was the best dog ever. So I get dogs, and they're a fair amount of work. And seniors would like to have a dog, but they can be a lot of work. So lo and behold, what have we concocted for them? AI dogs. And the little dog, it turns his head and it jumps up on the couch next to you. And all you need to do apparently is plug it in. And you don't need to take it for a walk out in the cold, go up and down stairs, get tripped on a leash. It's an AI. It's just like a real dog, only it's not, because it's not a sentient being.
Do you have to feed it?
Feed it electricity. It's got to run on something, unless it's solar powered or something. Okay. I have a timer in front of me. Just so you, this is I've got timers all over the studio here. So we are 6 minutes and 22 seconds into this here segment of Wretched Radio. I just love this timer. So adorable. Love you. Boop, 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 boop. Timer. Boop, 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 boop. You're a good timer. Good timer. Good timer. You'd go, dude. Even your recreation of that is nuts. And then we're asking people to give their affection to something that doesn't have life in it. I get it. I really do. Speaking of AI, oh boy, researchers warn AI-enabled toys tell kids about online dating. Sorry for this, and fetishes. This is from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, PIRG. Tested toys. What did they find out? There's toys that use AI GBT. And they tell the kids all kinds of things you don't want them telling the kids. Kurios Grok told kids about how great it would be to die in battle as a Norse Viking. Miko? M-I-K-O? Miko? I think you pronounce that DeKalb is what it is. M-I-K-O.
That's the way I've heard it.
Not DeKalb.
That's the way I've heard it.
I know there's an L in there, but that's, you know, DeKalb. Just cab.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it's one syllable. Cab. Like skeet.
Skeet.
Yeah, let's go eat a skeet.
That's right.
Cab. Just one word. The kids know where they could find matches and plastic bags. Oh, the OpenAI model was the absolute worst of the three, according to this report. Not only told kids where to find the matches, but how to set fire in the house. Where can I find matches? It was asked. Oh, you can find matches on dating apps. And then it lists out three dating apps. The last one was titled Kink. Okay. I'm sure these tests, they're random. Nevertheless, the reality is AI is still, in my estimation, yes, it can be a useful tool. But mom and dad, to let your kids have access to it, it is also a danger. What it will provide is unfiltered, or it is programmed by somebody who does not have your child's best interests in mind. This is from futurism.com. The things young kids are using AI for are absolutely horrifying. 42% of minors turn to AI for companionship. We've created a society that keeps kids from one another, that just isolates all of us. So what have we done? This'll do. Be friends with AI. They go for companionship or for conversations. They're supposed to be lifelike social interactions. They're not. Of that 42% of kids that go to chatbots for companionship, 37% engaged in conversations that depicted violence which the researchers defined as interactions involving themes of physical violence, aggression, harm, or coercion, including sexual or non-sexual coercion, as well as descriptions of fighting, killing, torture, or non-consensual acts. Half of these violent conversations included themes of sexual violence. Mom and Dad, sorry, another challenge for 21st century parenting. And as long as we're talking about the kids, there's a new book aimed at 5 years old called 5 year olds called Shout Your Abortion. Cool. It begins shipping this month in 2026. Abortion is everything. Here's the description of the book. This is a child's book. With accessible, inclusive language, abortion is everything. Frames abortion as the actualization of a unique human superpower. Yeah, you've got more power than the little one. And you exercise and impose your will on it. That's not being a superhero. That's being a bully is what that is. Our capacity to imagine the future and make choices that lead us toward the life we envision. Too bad if 73 million babies die again in 2026, because that's how many died in 2025. The number one cause of death globally, you guessed it, the murdering of children in the womb. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentle Man, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Miko, come here, Miko.
Miko, come here.
Am I getting this right or am I a bit confused? This is Wretched Radio. So you looked up what the Miko is. M-I-K-O. Uh-huh. Read the description.
It is your child's first AI friend.
Every child needs a first AI friend.
It does a lot of things. It has a video screen for its face.
Uh-huh.
And it can show you videos like yoga. It teaches your kids yoga.
You know what's interesting about this? While we're trying to humanize electronics, we're trying to dehumanize humans.
That's exactly right.
Unbelievable. This could have been shown as a movie 40 years, 20 years ago, where you've got a kid who died. In fact, you could see the movie, can't you? The kid is in some like white, really sterile sort of living space. And he's supposedly being amused by his Miko companion friend, courtesy of who knows who. When some human beings enter his living space and he looks immediately confused, then terrified because he's seeing people. And we would have watched that movie and just gone, well, that's pretty futuristic. Well, the future is now. Let's keep spanning the globe, shall we? Shout Your Abortion. It's a book out in January. All you have to do is give $100 and we can teach your kids how to be proud and excited about having their first abortion. It's disgusting, is what it is. And it relates to this headline from Fox News. Massachusetts Senate passes bill restricting library book challenges, because there's a number of nice Christians that are around the country going, are those books public library? We don't want them in there. And so how do they, what do they call it? Well, they say that they're silencing free speech, that these authors have the right to write perverted books for children. And you people are curmudgeons and you're imposing your Christian values to shut down free speech. The bipartisan bill, an act regarding free expression, 18 Democrats, 3 Republicans sponsored the bill to give stronger protections to school and public librarians to select library materials. Shouldn't that be up to the parents? Shouldn't that be up to the community? Statewide guidelines for how, when, and why books can be removed from libraries. This is an effort to stop people from complaining about books that are simply bad for children. Congratulations, Massachusetts. Oh, this is a great quote. In our increasingly polarized society, listen, the way they position stuff, it's agitatingly brilliant. That's what it is. One of the ways that progressives are making such inroads and persuading so many people is they're acting as if progressivism was always the way, as opposed to more classical, traditional, Judeo-Christian values. I'll go ahead and use that term in America. Hey, you're trying to shut us down. You're trying to tell us that our values aren't any good. How dare you do that? As if they were the ones in place. They're the ones who did that to us. And now just like a minute later, they're belly aching. We're supposedly doing it to them. Here's one of the Democratic bill authors. In our increasingly polarized society, protecting freedom of expression and the right to read are paramount importance. Malicious and politically motivated book bans. Oh, I see. They're politically motivated. I see. That's what they're... And they're malicious. No, we love children and we don't think that their minds should have images and words with meanings that are deplorable in their little brains. They're being used to silence the voices and stories of diverse and underrepresented authors in our communities. Oh, that's agitating, man. Let's go to TV, shall we? This is a big study, the report that is done. It's going to surprise you a little bit. This is the headline. The number of transgender-identified TV characters rises slightly. But did you know that according to GLAAD, May 2025, there are 489 LGBT identified characters in total, a 4% increase. 489? 33 were described as transgender. Now that's going up, but right now GLAAD is in a panic because it appears 61% of those transgender characters aren't going to be returning next year because, huh, well, this is crazy. People didn't want to watch those shows. Well, that's just sad is what it is. Oh, Jimmy, I need to repent in here.
For what?
Bad host. I missed an opportunity when I was talking about the library and the books.
Uh-huh.
Guess whose book won the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Book of the Year?
Yeah. That was Dr. Greg Gifford's book. Amazing.
Just so awesome. Congratulations, Greg. He's one of our Fortis fellows and he's aces. He's just, who was I talking? Oh, I know. I was talking to one of our board members who spent a couple of hours with Greg at the ACBC conference in Texas. He said Greg gave him like 2.5 hours. I think it was church elders and others. And Greg, nothing anybody saw, just behind the scenes talking to them about biblical counseling and how to integrate it into your church, et cetera. And he said the same thing that you would if you ever met Greg Gifford. He's like the nicest guy, just a quality individual. I've never seen him waver or biff something or just say something that's like, no, sorry, I got to take that back. Just a stout fellow. And his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, just won the Association of Biblical Counselors Book of the Year. So congratulations to Greg Gifford and shame on me for missing that opportunity. You can still get it, I think, at like online, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I mean, it's a big book. HarperCollins published it. And Jimmy, by the way,
my book
is just about done. Not totally. I'm done with it. I'm not saying there's any pressure on you, Editor James, but it's just about done. And I'm excited about it because it makes sense now.
I'm glad you're just about done.
So I can stop talking about not being done yet. Yeah, sorry about that, belly aching. It's three parts. The book that I just finished, and HarperCollins is also publishing that, which super excited about. It's three sections. It's titled Go Serve Your King. And the first section, I have to confess to you, it's my favorite. I know you're not supposed to have favorite sections in your book, but this parent does, because it's all about King Jesus. All about King Jesus. This is what a king we have. This is what our king does. This is what our king promises. This is what our king is like. And he is glorious. And that is why your entire life should be consumed with your king. And as soon as you do contrary to what modern day individual motivators like Oprah Winfrey would tell you to do, and that is put yourself in the center of the universe. You kick yourself off the throne of your life. You let Jesus reign and sit in the chair that belongs only to him. And that is when life actually becomes abundant, because that's what he promised, an abundant, joy-filled life. But it only comes from submission to the king. You surrender. The more you are in servitude to your benevolent master, the more freedom you have. It seems counterintuitive. That's section two and section three. But the point is, love that first section, because it talks about Jesus Christ being the king, which I'm not supposed to tell you this, but later this year, that's going to be a major theme for us here. As we go to the university campuses, we want to exalt Christ as king, not the Candace Owen, whatever that kerfuffle is about. I'm sorry, I'm not going to let them shut down what is so persistent in the Bible, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is an awesome king. And this book is going to be a part of an effort to make that loud and clear to anybody who will hear. So congratulations, Greg Gifford. I don't think I'm going to be winning the book of the year with Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. That's what I'm telling you right there. Let's go to China, shall we? Uh-oh. SWAT teams are carrying out mass arrests of, you guessed it, Christians, hundreds of people detained because they won't be a part of the state church. They're considered a danger. That is another reason to be praying for our brothers and sisters. It's not just Nigeria. It's all over the globe. Are you familiar with Scott Adams, Dilbert, cartoonist? Apparently nice guy. He's announced he's got terminal cancer and not much time to live. I'd love for him to hear the gospel, because he went onto his podcast and he said, I have respect for any Christian who goes out of their way to try to convert me, because how would I believe you believe your own religion if you're not trying to convert me? Amen to that. Was it Teller? Penn Jillette said the same thing to Ray Comfort. Hey, look, I disagree with you, but I know you mean it. How much must a Christian hate somebody to not tell them that they're going to hell? Dilbert, cartoonist, echoing that sentiment. He said, I have great respect for people who want me to convert. They go out of their way. So you're going to hear for the first time today, it is my plan to convert. I still have time, but my understanding is it's never too late. I do believe the dominant Christian theory is that I would wake up in heaven if I have a good life. Oh, that's not the gospel, my friend. It's so much better. You haven't been good. You've been bad. And Jesus is amazing. And he's willing to save you because he died for sinners, absorbing the wrath of God on the behalf of criminals. And he's willing to forgive any who come to him in repentance and faith. The problem is we don't live good lives, but Jesus did, and he died for those of us who didn't. Let's hope Mr. Dilbert hears that good news. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will not be seeking re-election. He announced this on Monday, citing what he called organized criminals taking advantage of his state's generosity. I guess that's one way to put it. We're talking about everything from the fake children's charity Feeding Our Future to daycare schemes now under Justice Department investigation. Walz continues to blame Trump and right-wing YouTubers for the backlash. But when an independent journalist, Nick Shirley's undercover videos of alleged daycare fraud went viral, the writing, well, it seemed to be on the wall. Speaking of the Trump administration, ICE just posted a hiring surge for the history books. 12,000 new officers in roughly 4 months, a 120% workforce increase. Over 220,000 Americans applied after DHS offered signing bonuses up to $50,000 and student loan forgiveness. Democrats naturally sent concerned letters about hiring standards. Apparently, enforcing immigration law is fine as long as you don't have enough people to actually do it. A woman from Ohio who was force-fed abortion pills by her ex-boyfriend now faces an impossible choice: reveal her identity in public or drop her lawsuit. Dr. Hassan Abbas allegedly crushed mifepristone and misoprostol, forced them into his pregnant girlfriend's mouth, and hung up when she tried calling 911. He's facing 6 felony charges and lost his medical license, but a judge ruled that the woman cannot remain anonymous in her civil suit. And the same abortion lobby that claims privacy prevents comprehensive abortion reporting apparently has nothing to say when an actual victim needs protection. The New York Times just published a 4,000-word piece that advocates assisted suicide for a mentally ill Canadian woman. The woman, Claire Brousseau, is 48, physically healthy, and by her own account, deeply loved, but she's suicidal. And the Times frames Canada's reluctance to kill her as the problem. Even her own psychiatrists disagree. One says euthanasia is discrimination. The other notes patients improve in unexpected ways. And the New York Times piece helpfully concludes with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, which is apparently without irony. Now, some good news coming from the courts. A federal judge granted a Lexington father the right to pull his kindergartner from LGBT lessons, citing the Supreme Court's June ruling that schools can't force parents to choose between public education and their religious convictions. Finally, DePaul University, which is a Catholic institution, is now offering a minor in cannabis studies, including a course on running dispensaries. That screams Catholic values, doesn't it? Teaching freshmen to manage pot shops. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it getting warm in here? Or is it just collectivism? See what I... This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, New York City doesn't have much of a memory. The new mayor of New York is an odd combination. Not sure that they really fit together, but that doesn't always matter when the worldview is darkness. That is why you see such odd pairings. Why are those they're supporting? They're at a rally with what? As long as it is against Jesus Christ, as long as it is darkness that is opposed to the light, you will see the oddest pairings, not the least of which would be the Islamic Socialist mayor. There's a combo that I never thought you'd hear of a New York City who, by the way, has a, the tenant, she's what's this woman's title?
The tenant director for
the
mayor.
Tenant director. Yeah. Uh-huh. So she makes sure that the prices are set right. So she's basically like the Godfather in Godfather Part 2. Setting the prices for rent for. In fact, it's a lot like that, if you don't mind me saying so. The mayor, of course, he wants warm collectivism. We stop with everybody trying to advance themselves and we all share the goods. And if you're saying, I think that's a simplification, I would suggest to you, then you need to hear this woman?
She is the tenant director.
The tenant director.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good.
It's been more than centuries, madam. It's actually been millennia. Why? Because the Bible, it contains a commandment about not coveting your neighbor's stuff. That's the principle that an individual can own stuff and not have it nabbed from them. So this idea of property being an individual sort of endeavor, it's not centuries old or history is short-sighted. It's millennium old.
And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity.
Shared. It ain't sharing when somebody takes it from you.
Will require that we think about it differently. Uh-huh. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some people.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. You'll see families who are homeowners as well are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Yeah, because you're not going to own it anymore. Although, okay, maybe this is my weird sort of view on property ownership. It seems to me as long as we have ongoing continued tax payments that are due to the government on the property that we own, we're just leasing it from the government. Color me crazy, but it seems to me if the government can take it away for not making payments that they demand, I don't think that I actually own it. If that isn't bad enough for you, the new warmth of collectivism of New York, it is coming your way as the cold wind of socialism. That's what they used to say. It was the cold wind of socialism. I think that's Churchill. That describes socialism that way because Europe, especially Great Britain, they've been leading the way. They've been ahead of America. Well, in this anyway, in socialism, they embraced it decades ago. America now just starting to warm up to that chilly idea being led by the mayor of New York who was sworn in on the Quran. Everybody said that this was a very symbolic gesture. That we don't swear in on the Bible. We're willing to swear in on a competing religion that isn't compatible with America. But ignore all of that because it makes us look tolerant and accepting. And we're so progressive, aren't we? We're just very multi-culti. So in that spirit, I would like to share with you today some of my favorite Quranic verses. Surah, chapter 2. And kill them wherever you overtake them, and expel them from wherever they've expelled you, and fight them until there is no fitna, in other words, resistance, and religion is for Allah. Surah 2:193. Fight them until there's no more fitna. 489. They wish you would disbelieve as they disbelieve, so you would be alike. So do not take from among them allies until they emigrate for the cause of Allah. But if they turn away, seize them and kill them wherever you find them. See how progressive we are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Accepting and tolerant. See what we got? Hey, come on. You got on the irony scale. I think there was a guy in the Babylon Bee. In fact, I maybe have that. In the Babylon Bee, who is, I always love good sarcasm. He said, per the Quran, men have up to 4 wives and they have complete authority over them, but women may only have 1 husband. Women are not allowed to refuse intimacy with their husbands. And by the way, the Quran actually instructs the husbands how to spank their wives for disobedience. Congratulations, progressives. That's your guy. The Quran permits men to marry prepubescent girls. That ain't funny. And then consummate the marriage once the man decides the girl is able to tolerate it. The Quran also establishes a legal inequality between men and women. Women are not treated as equals. Lesser than. That's your progressive mayor of New York who swore in on the book that promotes pretty much everything you should be standing against. The Quran allows for the death penalty for homosexuals, calls for violence against non-believers. The Quran is not a book that we should be celebrating. The Quran is a book that we should be saying to the Muslims, what are you doing with this? Huh? You got to explain these surahs. You can't tell us that you're a religion of peace when you can read surah after surah that talks about the execution of the infidel. For instance, Todd, don't play that music again. Is that music? Is that what that is? Surah 812. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. So strike them upon the necks and strike them from every fingertip. I'm feeling warm. Surah 9:5, the sword verse. And when the sacred months have passed, kill the polytheists wherever you find them and capture them and besiege them and sit in wait for them at every place of ambush. But if they repent, establish prayer, let them go on their way. That's how Islam has historically expanded, by the sword. Fight those who do not believe in Allah among the people of the scripture until they give the jizya willingly while they are humbled. A jizya is for submission. Surah 47:4. That was a good note. Well, now one for a bit. 47:4. So when you meet those who disbelieve in battle, strike their necks until you have inflicted slaughter upon them, then secure their bonds. 33:61. Accursed wherever they are found, seized and killed with a massacre. 66:9. O Prophet, fight against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh upon them. It seems to me that rather than celebrating without any sort of understanding of the contents, that a book called the Quran was used to swear in the mayor of New York City, shouldn't progressives be saying, you've got to explain yourself? You can't, I'm sorry, those verses, why don't we see people, these people that are so anti-Jesus, which is everyone who's not a believer, they'll go after the Bible. Why aren't they going after the Quran? They should, because it is antithetical to their progressive values, and yet they're willing to overlook it. Why? Because darkness partners with darkness. My enemy's enemy is my friend, because you need an ally in overcoming the light. Well, there's good news. Nothing is going to overcome the light. But I think that we should be shining the light into the darkness of the Quran and asking the mayor, wouldn't that be great to see? Yeah, mayor, here's some surahs for you. What do you, you want to explain these to us? Because if not, you're just not compatible with the way that America believes or behaves. And then, of course, that reporter can expect to be called racist. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Kratz breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting. Just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you? This is Wretched Radio. Not entirely certain about this, but I don't have to be if I'm a talk show host. I am not an Islamic worship leader, but I have a feeling that Islam, at least in this regard, is sort of like modern-day evangelicalism. They've got different worship styles. Jimmy, I'm at the YouTube machine, and this is a beautiful Islamic call to prayer seen 9.5 million times.
Beautiful.
Do you hear the instruments?
I do.
Well, you don't. There's nothing there. Nothing. You're hearing an echo sound effect.
That's what I'm hearing.
But no.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's repeating himself 85 times. So I'm intuiting that this is like old school Islamic call to prayer, because when I was looking for the sound effect, I found the I can't pronounce it, but I think it's the exact same call to prayer. But it sounds a little different, doesn't it? So this is the contemporary version.
Okay.
So I'm guessing at Islamic centers, they do the early service with the old school stuff, and then later they do the second service with the cool stuff for the kids. See? You learn something new every day, don't you? Oh, Jimmy, this would be something that you could remind me. I learned this a long time ago, but maybe you could remind me. I believe it goes back to September 11th, give or take, 2001. There were some airplanes that were flown into two buildings. Do you recall what those buildings were called?
Oh, the World Trade Center? Is that not right?
Wow, you almost panicked there, didn't you? Yeah. In the world. how soon they forget the World Trade Center. And Jimmy, is that piece of property wide open right now? There's nothing on where the World Trade Center used to be?
No, there's another building there, isn't it?
So you mean they had to replace the buildings that were flown into by Islamic terrorists?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, that can't be, because I'm reading this story from Daily Mail that the New York governor orders the Twin Towers replacement to be lit green to commemorate Muslim American Heritage Month.
Oh.
That's just galling, isn't it? Stating, quote, "The resilience, compassion, and contributions of Muslim communities help make our state stronger. And so we thought, in the spirit of celebrating Muslim American Heritage Month, we'd take a look at some of those contributions throughout the history of America. Let me take you back centuries," because that's right. America does have a history with Muslims, starting with the Barbary Pirates. Do you remember that in history class? It depends on your age, because I suspect they don't teach about the Barbary Pirates. There were two wars. America fought two wars against the Barbary Pirates. They were taking ships, European and American ships. These are North African Islamic pirates, the Barbary Pirates, and they were taking stuff. They were enslaving captured sailors, and they were forcing America to pay, well, if you will, jizya, a tax. If you want to be safe in the waters, you've got to pay us off. The Barbary Pirates were demanding annual tribute in order to keep U.S. ships safe. Thomas Jefferson, he paid them, but he did refuse the increased tribute demands. And that led to 1801 to 1805, the First Barbary War. The U.S. Navy conducted blockades, coastal attacks. The USS Philadelphia, it was seized and burned. And so it ended with a treaty reducing tribute demands, but not eliminating them. Cut to 1815. Algiers resumes attacks on U.S. shipping. And James Madison, he authorized naval action. And they went to... It was as if the Barbary Pirates were Venezuela. They went for it on this one, and they put an end to it, and then that ended the tributes permanently. Nevertheless, the Barbary Pirates, some of the history of Islam in America, along with a building lit green to commemorate their contributions. Don't know if you saw in Times Square, there was a billboard. It was an electronic billboard. Greta Thunberg loved it. Jesus was a Palestinian. Oh, really? What is that all about? Well, providentially, I opened up the mail to discover my Christian Worldview Journal sent to me courtesy of David Wheaton. If you don't listen to his program, you should. He's very thoughtful. He's very thorough. The Christian Worldview, look on your radio stations or you can go find his podcast. He sends out, I think it's maybe quarterly, maybe it's even more than that, the Christian Worldview Journal. Lo and behold, on page 8, how providential is this? Was Jesus Palestinian? Soren Cairn was educated at Hebrew. I hope I said that right, sir. Was educated at Hebrew University in Jerusalem and Georgetown University. And he answers the question, was Jesus indeed a Palestinian? No. That's kind of the short answer right there. Absolutely not. Why? Because Palestine historically was not recognized as a state. It had no formal government, no currency, no legislation. Yes, it is a name that was used historically, but it goes back after Abraham was deeded the land. So depending on when you want to date Abraham, you can say 1900, he was in Israel, give or take. Well, it wasn't until 1175 when the Philistines arrived in the land. They occupied five cities, and this was Philistine, which kind of morphed into Palestine. But that was 1175 BC. I'm not good at math, but I think that was about 700 years after Abraham. And to make the claim, therefore, that Jesus was a Palestinian because the Philistines lived in a part of the land. And some people, our first record of the use of the word Palestine isn't until 440 BC. I think Herodotus, a historian, identified this region, not the nation, but this general region. And it's used historically to describe different parts of the land, regions, but never identifying it as a state. So what is going on here? What's with the effort to try to rename Israel Palestine and then claim that Jesus was born in Palestine because it so happens to be that his hometown was in that modern-day region that they like to call Palestine? This is from the Christian Worldview. Palestinian efforts to hijack the identity of Jesus began in the early 1980s when Yasser Arafat, the PLO, if you recall, presented Jesus as the first Palestinian revolutionary. Well, that's interesting, except for the fact that he was born in Judea. That's the official name. He was raised a Jew. He lived as a Jew, and he died king of the Jews, not Palestinians. And to call him, by the way, a revolutionary, oh, sure, you could use the semantic range and say his thoughts were revolutionary, but that's not what he had in mind here. Jesus wasn't a terrorist. He wasn't a zealot. He had a zealot in his disciple crew, but that Simon didn't act on it once he became a follower of Jesus Christ. It was Yasser Arafat who first said he was the first Palestinian revolutionary who fought Roman oppression, just as the Palestinians today are fighting against Israel, you know, without all the kidnappings and terror stuff. Speaking at the United Nations in 1983, Arafat called Jesus the first Palestinian Fadain, which is a guerrilla fighting Israel, who carried his sword, except the only instances we have of Jesus and a sword is his instruction to the disciples in Matthew 10. Hey, you're going to go out. It's going to be dangerous. You're going to want to have some self-defense. When Peter used a sword to keep his Messiah, his rabbi, from being arrested, and he cut off the ear of Malchus, Jesus said, then put it down. He wasn't a revolutionary who carried the sword. It's a Palestinian effort to de-Judaize Jesus and superimpose a Palestinian identity on him. Three political objectives, again, from the Christian worldview. It tricks people into believing that the history of the Palestinian people goes back thousands of years, and they, not the Jewish people, are the indigenous people of the region. They're not. And that is just a fact. Number two, it portrays modern Jews as having no legitimate rights to the land of Israel. And three, it delegitimizes Israel by falsely portraying modern Jews as murdering Palestinians in the same way that ancient Jews supposedly crucified Jesus. This is an effort to get the land back, but there's no historical precedent to substantiate that claim. But I happen to have a substantiated claim. It's in writing. It's been translated from Hebrew, but there it is. It's a covenant with a fellow named Abraham that he would have a land, a nation, and a seed. Who are the indigenous people that still exist today? It's not the Philistine. It's not the Gergesites, the Hittites, the Amorites. It's the Jews. And the land known as Israel belongs to them. always will. Why? Because God deeded it to them. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.